Hello, listeners. I'm Whit Misseldine, the creator, producer, and host of This Is Actually Happening. I usually remain silent because I want the stories to speak for themselves, but the show has grown dramatically in the past year, and you have shown so much support that I recently secured a sponsor, Audible.com. I'm especially excited to be sponsored by Audible because I'm a scholar at heart and a social psychologist by training. So for each episode sponsored by Audible, I get to recommend books that I love to the This Is Actually Happening community. And since Audible has the biggest library of audiobooks available online, finding my favorite books is easy. So for this week, I'm recommending the book Nonsense, The Power of Not Knowing, by Jamie Holmes. Nonsense is a synthesis of real-life encounters and psychological research into how people thrive in situations of overwhelming ambiguity. The book mirrors so many of the very situations people on my show have faced and includes some famous cases like an account by one of the negotiators in the Waco, Texas raid on the Branch Davidian cult. If you love my show, you'll love this book. And to show your support for This Is Actually Happening, please go to audible.com/actually to get a free trial for 30 days. That's audible.com/actually to access a 30-day free trial. Thanks for listening, everyone. And now on to the show, with another wild story from the one and only Jupiter Diego.
Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 70. What if you had a mind-blowing affair?
I've been with Susan since she was a teenager. I was 19 at the time. She was 16. What immediately attracted me to her was her extraordinary intelligence. She would become a highly respected lawyer. We had, by this time, been together for over 15 years. I was very happy in the marriage. I had no intention of having an affair. I was not seeking an affair. I have always been vitally attracted to feminine beauty, but I never acted on it in any kind of extramarital way, and I wasn't looking to do so. One day, Susan, my wife, and a colleague of hers, also a lawyer, Sig, decided to introduce their respective spouses to each other. Sig said something like, well, you know, my wife is an artist and your husband is an artist. I bet they would really enjoy each other's company. We should get together and, you know, introduce them to each other. I knew she was a supremely talented painter. I knew that she liked to smoke pot every day, and I knew also that she was unbelievably beautiful. I was sold long before I met her. I had to meet this person. So we go to this wedding, this big fancy wedding on Sunset Boulevard, and the wedding was for a colleague of my wife and Helene's husband's sake. But this is what mattered to me. Helene was present. And when I found her, she was standing in a small group. after the ceremony, I said, Helene, is it? Yes? I need to talk to you privately. I took her aside. She said, who are you? And I said, I'm Susan's husband, you know. I've heard so much about you. I've wanted to meet you for a long time, but let me come straight to the point. You and I are going to become lovers. You shall be my mistress. She immediately, you know, stifled this little bout of laughter like a schoolgirl trying to stifle a sneeze in class. I'm very, very certain of what I am saying. You and I are destined to be lovers for all eternity. And I can prove it. She interrupted me. She said, you know, look, humor me because your story is absolutely false, impossible, and it's never going to happen. I said, Helene, let me stop you right there. I can prove that what I say is not only true, but is preordained that we shall be entwined spiritually, physically, artistically, and sexually. And here's how I know it. I know this to be true because I am prepared to give up absolutely everything. I am prepared to walk away from my home, my marriage, my money, my car, my assets. If that is required to demonstrate my extraordinary and eternal love for you. Helene's husband, Sick, came up with the notion of a double date. He thought it would be a good idea to go see the Dalai Lama perform the Black Hat ceremony at the Wilshire Ebell Theater in the Hancock Park District of Los Angeles. Susan and I drove over to Sig and Helene's house, and Sig rolled a joint of some very good pot, and I took a sneak peek at Helene's paintings. Huge, masterly, I mean, fantastic paintings. I went back downstairs, barely keeping my head attached to my shoulders. We went in the car and smoked the doobie and arrived at the Wilshire Ebell Theater. And as we sat at our table, the four of us, even before the Dalai Lama made his appearance, we closed out the whole rest of the universe. We were in a sacred cocoon of conversation, just the two of us, intense, incessant, unstoppable. All we could do was look into each other's eyes and talk, and nothing else mattered. So I knew, you know what? I'm right. We're gonna fuck. What happened next? Yes. About a week later, she needed to stretch a new canvas. When we were finished with that chore, I stood there awkwardly And I started to shed tears. I started to cry. I couldn't help myself. It was like, okay, finally, please hear me. I am so in love with you. The sense that I got in return was she was ready to show me the door, that she felt what I was saying was inappropriate. But as I sank to my knees and professing my love for her, that she took a couple of steps back. Her eyes widened and her attitude seemed to change dramatically. She held forth her hand and she said, "Why don't you come with me?" And she led me by the hand to her bedroom and she shut the door. She sat at the foot of her bed. She unbuttoned her blouse and made herself completely naked. She had flipped her vision from one of cynicism and doubt to one of openness, love, and hope. And she said, "Jupiter, I know now that you have been right all along, that we are meant to be lovers. Let me kiss you. Let me kiss you a million times. I love you." As I said, I wasn't looking for an affair. The affair was looking for me. Anything of lasting value requires sustained effort. Love is something you work at as a team, as a couple. An affair is completely different. It's not about love. It's about infatuation. It's about passion. And passion is untrustworthy. It doesn't require work. Anything that comes for free is, by its very nature, not to be trusted. An affair comes at you like an explosion, a field of hallucinogenic colors that drown you in sexual allure. There is an infatuation which takes you back to your teenage years. It's irresponsible. It is accountable to no one. And that's exactly what we told our spouses. Helene and I are in love. We're going to make love as much as possible, as often as possible, for as long as possible. And I know this must hurt your feelings, but it has to happen. And she... I told this to her husband also. It wasn't so much an act of asking for their permission. It was more an act of being unwilling to keep a lie. We must be open and honest and pay the consequences of our acts, even if it hurts others, which is, you know, really selfish. But our attitude was, we need this slice of life. We need to take this slice of life for ourselves. And here's how it happened. She talked to her husband first. So Helene and Sig decided to have Susan and myself over for a New Year's Eve hot tub party. The idea was to bring Susan gently up to be in concert with Sig to approve such an arrangement. Susan knew exactly what was going on. She knew that Helene and I were in love. And as 12 o'clock rolled around, and as Susan and I drove home, she said to me unmistakably, "You cannot be in love with two women at the same time." I said, "If you are asking me to give up everything I have with Helene, I can't do it. I'm not willing to do it. I can't." She said, "Okay, pack your bags." So I did. I'm kicked out of the apartment, and it's now 2 in the morning. And I go back to Helene and Sig's house. I ring the doorbell. I say, "Susan and I are getting a divorce. She is unwilling to accept my relationship with your wife. Can I please sleep here just for the night?" He puts me up in a guest bedroom adjoining the master bedroom. I have the further good judgment to, at that point, swallow a very potent tablet of MDMA ecstasy. And I go to sleep only to wake an hour later. Tears streaming down my face. I'm typing like 100 words a minute. I'm tripping my brains out. I'm watching the sun rise through my tulip-colored tripping vision. I am so confused, so ecstatic, and so in love and depressed all at the same time. At that point, Helene comes into the room. I can't really say that she walks into the room. It's more like she floats. And she sees the turmoil and the conflicts. Ever so gently and slowly, she unties the belt to her terry cloth robe, exposing her to supremely perfect breasts. And she knows she is the deliverer of the spiritual divine medicine designed to soothe my anxiety and conflict. And it works. What happens next is that Sig and Susan, realizing the emergency at hand, get together to talk about what they're going to do. They decide the best course of action is to do nothing. That it will prove to be a Roman candle that will burn itself out. Allow it, sit back, and watch it burn out on its own. Of course, they were right. But in the meantime, boy, did we have some fun. One day, Helene and I, not really in search of anything in particular, but kind of hoping to get to the Hollywood sign, smoking joint after joint as we drive. We find ourselves at the nearby corner of Astral and Solar Drives. We're sitting in the front seat of my car and we're parked. Helene, how about you and I go in the back seat now and make love? And she said, and I said, I love crazy. Well, yes, I would like to fuck you. Now, absolutely. Let's go in the back of your car now and we fuck our brains out. Now, as we're doing this, we look through the sunroof and there's a woman, a homeowner, right there at the corner. She's looking down right at us. And she's not exactly scowling or threatening, but, you know, she's making mental notes. We are fucking our brains out. 100% over the top. Great sex. That's what I call an affair. That's a real affair. That's a fucking real affair. Sig, he and I both felt it was important to maintain a certain bond, a closeness, a friendship. So I would go down with him once a week, Friday afternoon. Sometimes I'd bring a gram of coke and we would pour it on the inside of my glove compartment door and snort it together. And we'd go skating, okay. So this one time we're out there skating, I stop him. I said, Sig, I need to tell you sincerely how much I appreciate that you have allowed me to make love with your wife over and over. This guy, I love this guy. He says, you're welcome. No hatred, no vitriol. You're welcome. It turns out he and Susan, they felt like they were entitled to have sex on their own. Needless to say, Helene and I did not object. He comes over and we all do some coke. And he goes into my bedroom to make love with my wife. And Helene and I, we just weren't interested in having sex that night. I don't know why. We just weren't. We just decided to get naked and sit in the closet where we could hear them. We knew they'd never let us watch them, although that would have been our first choice. But we thought that was pretty cool because she's fucking nuts. And so was I. I don't know how else to put it. Helene and I, we lasted about a year and a half. Towards the end of that year, I became so unstable. Sig and Susan and Helene are all handling this a whole lot better than I am. I, the man without boundaries, the one who could accept anything, I realized, you know, it's not really true. I felt as though a celestial axe had come down and split my skull in half. I could not handle having two wives at the same time. Not they. I was the one who was the most vulnerable. Which surprised me. What I did was I started to do a whole lot of cocaine and alleviate my pain over these divisions and delusions that I could not heal on my own. I needed to cover them up. I needed to medicate, however inappropriately. Ultimately, I became bipolar manic. Helene chose to break it off. And there I was on her sidewalk, shouting up at her upper studio window, "We're supposed to be lovers for life. What's wrong with you?" So I did what any normal person would do. I dug a pit in her front yard and I filled it with gasoline. And I stood in the pit filled with gasoline. I poured gasoline over my head and was ready to strike a match and immolate myself in protest. Instead of anyone coming forth with a match or a lighter, to my chagrin, my mother shows up. The police show up and they cart me off to Cedars-Sinai Psychiatric for a 14-day lockdown. I don't really, to this day, quite understand why it would be so difficult to be in love with two women at the same time. It still puzzles me. Where is the problem? I don't see it. I don't get it. But emotionally, it's different than intellectually, and I can't excuse it. I can't explain it. I would have been committed to a mental institution. Now, why is that? I don't know why. It's just hard. That's just the way I am. I went into the deepest depression for about 2 years after the breakup, after I got out of Cedars. And then one day, I guess it's about 3 or 4 years later now, I'm at the pharmacy picking up a prescription, and there she is. And I said to her, "In spite of everything that has happened, you know that I know you are still deeply in love with me. And I am still deeply and forever in love with you too. I know we will not physically be together, but what's going to happen now is that you and I, right here, right now, we're going to kiss to seal forever our affair, that you and I are forever so in love with each other." And she kissed me so passionately, and we kissed and we kissed. And when we walked away from that pharmacy, we both knew that nothing mattered anymore. Nothing.
This Is Actually Happening is sponsored by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks. For listeners to this show, Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. Go to audible.com/actually to browse over 180,000 titles, including one of my favorite books, Nonsense, The Power of Not Knowing. Once you sign up, download a free book and start listening. Thanks again for your support.